The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Texas Longhorns insider for 247 Sports, Chip Brown joining us here. Good morning, Chip.
What's going on? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's good to have you back with us. So you got the matchup between Texas and Ohio State on Friday night. This should be a good one. What do you anticipate seeing from the Texas offense? This could be something where, you know, they've got to rack up the points if Ohio State is playing the way that they played in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, well, I think Texas fans are hoping that Quinn Ewers found something there at the end of the Arizona State game, 4th and 13. That's what it's known as now.
Wow.
Season on the line, came through with a 28-yard touchdown pass to Matthew Golden, then turns right around, throws a 25-yard dart for a touchdown in the second overtime, and then converts the 2-point conversion. It's just mystifying what happens to this team in the third quarter. They outscored opponents through the first 7 games in the third quarter, 69-3. Over the last 7 games, they've been outscored in the third quarter, 60-16. They get up on teams, they play with their food, they let teams back into the game, and then somehow they figure it out. Except Georgia. So it. It's been a strange trip here down the stretch, but they've also got to figure out what's going on with their kicker, who went through a confidence crisis at the end of that Peach Bowl. And they got to get the running game going, and that's not going to be easy because Ohio State statistically is a better defense than Texas is. So, you know, everybody's picking Ohio State to win this game, which is probably right where Steve Sarkisian wants it. I'm told they've had a great week of practice, that they're, you know, pissed off, locked in. So hopefully we'll see a really, really good game on Friday night.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, actually, was what is going on with them? You know, you said you mentioned Bert Auburn or Brett Auburn?
Yes, Bert.
Bert Auburn and
early Bert.
Chip, there's two consistencies every time I've watched Texas, and I take that first regular season game away, and I haven't watched them as much as you, I know, and maybe others, but every time I watch a game, Bert Auburn misses kicks that could help push the lead up, and then Sark goes and yours and this offense goes into this lull where they just look they don't look good at all. And you mentioned the fact that they've been able to overcome it against every team but Georgia, which is probably the most talented team they've played at this point. But I know you've asked the question: what is the answer been? Like, what's pinpointing on this? Like, what is the reason they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into it. It's different for almost every game. That's what's crazy. I mean, against A&M, they dominated the third quarter, had the ball for over 12 minutes, but Quinn Ewers threw a pick six and fumbled. And so they lost that quarter 7-0. They've had costly penalties in the third quarter. They've had, the defense maybe couldn't get off the field against Arizona State because of a fake punt that Arizona State was able to convert. It's really strange how it's sort of, you know, there's no common thread across the board. But there have been times where Quinn Ewers has, you know, missed open people. There have been tough play calls by Steve Sarkisian getting away from the running game. So it's, you know, it's a combination of everything, but man, that is a pattern that absolutely needs to end at this point. You're down to the final four.
Chip, I want to ask you, too, about the matchup with the defensive line from Texas. And I think that, look, I think that a lot of people can say that Texas has the best defensive front in college football. At times this year, I think people said that about Oregon as well. At times this year, I think people said that about Tennessee, at least around these parts. They'll face their toughest task probably this weekend, and that's no shade at Georgia's offensive line, but the running game from Ohio State seems to have hit another level this, you know, these last couple of games. What's the outlook for them? Tell me about the personnel for Texas's defensive front and how you think they'll fare in the matchup.
Well, I think it's the biggest key to the game is getting pressure on Will Howard. And so, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator, he's got guys who can do it. He's got, you know, Colin Simmons, the freshman who won the Sean Alexander Award over Jeremiah Smith. I'm not sure about that one, but, you know, Trey Moore, who's got a play behind the line of scrimmage in seven of his last eight games. Baron Sorrell, who leads the team in quarterback pressures, and Ethan Burke, who seems to make a big play every game. He blocked a field goal last week in the Peach Bowl. So they've got guys who can get after the quarterback. You know, Michigan played a light box. They played a six-man box, invited Ohio State to run, and they did. Kind of lured Ohio State into a trench war that Michigan was able to win. Does Texas try some of that? You're going to have some safety help over the top to deal with Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka. So, you know, they're good enough up front. Anthony Hill, they're everything linebacker number zero, who's just lightning fast, great instincts, makes, you know, play after play after play. He's capable. I mean, he's the guy who spied Will Howard last year, and that was against K-State. Ohio State's offensive line has been reshuffled. This is the one matchup I think Texas, you give them the check mark. Texas's defensive line against the Ohio State offensive line. So they've got a lot on their plate, and, you know, they just played 97 snaps against Arizona State. So you got to hope that they've been able to recover and then play the game of their lives Friday night.
We got Chip Brown on with us, insider for 247 Sports, covering the Texas Longhorns. Hey, Chip, so when you look at the ground game against Clemson, they had almost 300 rushing yards. Against Arizona State, 53. So how can they try to get some of that going for them against Ohio State?
Yeah, honestly, I think they didn't realize the fire and the fight that Arizona State was going to have. You know, they saw the smaller guys and thought, okay, we got this, and they didn't. You know, Arizona State, to their credit, played like madmen and just fought and didn't make mistakes, and Texas did. I mean, there were times where guys were whiffing. That was, to me, the biggest storyline for the offensive line. I mean, they just didn't play the game that they were expected to play. You're going to have a five-alarm wake-up call here. I mean, if these guys aren't ready for this game, then it's a mystery, because they were totally ready for Clemson, totally ready for Texas A&M. That was a winner-take-all to go to the SEC championship game. They were playing at night at Kyle Field, and they dominated both lines of scrimmage. That's the kind of performance I would expect to see Friday night, because there's no tomorrow. So I did say last week, if there could possibly be a look-ahead game in the college football playoffs, it was probably Texas-Arizona State, and I think the Texas offensive line got caught looking ahead. And they got it right in the mouth.
All right, Chip, Jadae Barron, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a Jim Thorpe Award winner as the best DB in the country. How are they going to use him? Because you mentioned the receivers that Ohio State has. It's not just Jeremiah Smith. All of a sudden, Chip Kelly figured out he was on the roster in the playoffs, apparently. But he's been on the roster all year. But they do have Egbuka. They have honestly, Ohio State's deep every year. What's Barron going to do? Is he going to go to Smith and maybe travel? I know they use him in that their star position or whatever. What's their plan with Barron?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect to see Barron travel with Jeremiah Smith. And what a matchup that would be. I mean, you got the Thorpe Award winner against arguably the best receiver, probably would be the number one draft pick if he came out after his freshman year. What a matchup. I hope that's what we get. Malik Muhammad, the other corner for Texas, he's the guy who gets picked on because people don't throw at Jahdae Barron. So, he's going to have to be super sharp. The safeties for Texas are outstanding, and that's going to be interesting. Can they get, hits on these guys? Andrew Makuba is a head knocker. He's had two different calls looked at for targeting that were not targeting. Michael Taft, everybody's talking about his non-targeting call. Texas has safeties who will knock you out. And Jelani McDonald, number 25, is a guy who got 67 snaps in that Peach Bowl. Is kind of a guy moving up and into their star nickel role. He's another guy who can knock you out. So, Texas is going to have to be super physical. They're going to have to hit these guys, any way they can. And they can't get caught like they did last year against Michael Penix. Penix put on a clinic in that CFP semifinal in the Sugar Bowl last year. It seemed like, he couldn't miss. Roma Dunze and McMillan. So they know what it feels like, and they cannot let that happen again.
Finishing up here with Chip Brown, 247 Sports. Chip, look, let's look away from this game for a little bit. I got to ask you the question. Steve Sarkisian's name keeps popping up in some of these head coaching circles in the NFL. What do you make of it? Do you think, in your time being around him, that he's a guy that would jump to the NFL? Obviously, Atlanta Falcons fans over here, we know him really well. I think he'd be a decent NFL coach. What are your thoughts, and do you think he's actually given it any serious thought?
Well, the fact that you're saying that I think he'd be a decent head coach means he needs to stay right where he is, because NFL is not for long for the players and not for long for the coaches. I mean, what good jobs are there where you have the kind of say and input and influence over the roster, over everything, like you do in college football? And it's to Sarkisian's credit that he's built it the way he has at Texas. He's got it rolling. He has not taken a sideways step in terms of program momentum since that first season, that 5-7 season. Since then, he's been reeling in one top recruiting class after another. He's building it from the inside out. He's got excellent offensive linemen. He's got Arch Manning in the wings. He's got a loaded defensive, tackle class coming in, led by Justice Terry from Georgia. And why on earth would you leave that for the uncertainty of the NFL? You get promised one thing as a head coach in the NFL, and then the next, year, you're out the door. And, you think you have a franchise player, and the next year that guy wants to leave. Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. I mean, it's like, why would you go – in college football, the coach has all the power. I mean, the players have a lot more with the transfer portal and NIL. But in the NFL, you get on the wrong side of a star player who's under contract, the coach is out the door. So I think Sark is smart enough to know how good he has it right now. I think Jimmy Sexton's, stirring the pot to help a client who's had a really good year.
Boom, there you have it. Well, Chip, thanks for joining us this morning. We always appreciate the insight. Good to have you back.
Hey, Happy New Year.